Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Two major WWE superstars are injured. What happened at Final Resolution? And who got on TV at Impact this week? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So CM Punk is injured, but is it a major injury?
Well, it's his leg. So, I mean, you know, anything with your leg is going to be major. You know, I mean, that's something that you use to run, to walk. I mean, that's a major weapon in your arsenal. But the nice thing is they're giving him a very quick turnaround to get him back in the ring. The only thing is, though, they said that Vince McMahon had said Ryback will get a match against Punk in the near future. Well, if Punk is going to take on The Rock at Royal Rumble, WWE has to be careful. They can't just have Punk, you know, be that workhorse. You know, can't be just the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels of the WWE right now, because by doing so, you're going to work him injured. And you can't have it happen. You need him and The Rock to be in their prime when they wrestle at Royal Rumble. That's what you need to have happen. If Punk comes out on top, then have the Ryback match right afterwards. But if he doesn't, then what happens? You know? And then it's like Ryback gets put right back on the back burner and you have to do something else with him.
Yeah, and with this injury, actually, it's not as bad as what some people said at first. It's a scope. You know, recently, NFL star Brian Urlacher had his knee scoped and he was back within 10 days afterwards. CM Punk technically could wrestle on Sunday, but, you know, they want to err on the side of caution. They want to go ahead and say, let's do something else. But the rumor is...
And I think that's smart.
Yeah, and the rumor is that they're going to wrestle at the 20th anniversary of Raw is when that match is going to happen, which is actually ironically before Royal Rumble. So, you know, CM Punk's going to have to retain.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he's wrestling Rock at Royal Rumble, it's going to happen. Anyway, so Randy Orton also got injured this week. And he got injured actually at the taping of the event for the troops that they usually do every year. Well, I thought about it for a long time and I kept thinking, it's karma. It's there, dude. Because if you know, he went AWOL. He's a former AWOL soldier. And I find it kind of ironic that he gets injured at a taping for the troops. You know,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and I feel bad that he got injured, but isn't it kind of weird that, you know, that he went AWOL and he gets injured?
And Well, you know, but it does suck, first of all. It really does suck because Orton is a little fragile. He has these injuries that happen. I'm not saying that like, oh, no, he can't take bumps at all. But he has these things that happen to him that take him out of commission. And then it's like, okay. Well, now what are you going to do with him? You know, you got to let him, you know, marinate for a little while, then bring him back. And then what can you do? Can you have him wrestle this guy? Is he too stiff? You know, is Randy even safe in the ring? It's unfortunate because they're so thin at talent right now. And Orton is one of those guys who is young and can help put over other talent. He was putting over Ziggler earlier this year, and that was something that really helped him out. He had a feud with Wade Barrett that was going pretty well. It's one of those things where you need to have this talent there. And that's why I've been saying for the longest time, you need to combine Raw and SmackDown because your talent is so thin.
And it's so thin, and it's kind of ironic because they have so much TV that they have to go through. Also, Jeff Hardy, his contract is up in March. We talked about it before, this contract is expiring soon. We talked about how Matt wants to come back to the WWE as, you know, as the Hardy Boys. It's kind of weird that he's now the champion. His contract's up in 3 months. They're pushing him. He could be the top dog in TNA, or he can go to the WWE, wrestle for 3 to 4 years, and basically be able to retire with enough cash in the bank.
Sure. I think it's important to know when his contract is up because it's going to let you know what TNA is going to do for their programming for the next few months. if anything else, if he is going to leave, they have to take the strap off of him. And you don't want to do it right before he leaves because that's expected. But if you do it, you know, a month before and then he can put over some of the younger talent, that's the smart move. You don't want to burn bridges with him, though. It's one of those things where you put over somebody who's right there on the cusp. But beating Jeff Hardy is a big deal because Jeff Hardy is the man in TNA. That's the smart move. I think that Jeff going back to WWE is a good thing. I think that, you know, if he can shine there, put him there in a 2-year program, then he can go back to TNA. You know, it's a good, good thing to happen. There are many superstars who did this. Jeff Jarrett, you know, when he was in WCW, WWE, WCW. I mean, you know, he floated all over the place. And there's many other wrestlers who did the exact same thing. So, but anyway, Andy, I want to move on, though, to something that is, you know, many of our listeners may not even really pay a lot of attention to. But Kenta Kobashi is a man who has been wrestling in Japan for the longest time. And he's somebody who I came in contact with, in the wrestling scene through virtual pro wrestling for the Nintendo 64. And this is a guy who, you know, after seeing him in the game and then playing, watching him on YouTube, really impressive guy. But he actually announced his retirement at a Pro Wrestling NOAH event. So what do you think about this?
It's a big deal because I remember, you know, seeing him actually on the, virtual pro wrestling. I was like, who is this guy? And then all of a sudden, a guy I used to work with gave me a tape of him on it. And I'm like, this guy's awesome in the ring. It's awesome. And then just go, you know, if you type in, go to YouTube and type him in, Kenta Kobashi, you'd be surprised on some of the matches and basically some of the stuff he came up with that wrestlers use now. It's pretty amazing.
And something that really we should take away from this is that there are many moves that CM Punk does that are taken away from Kenta Kobashi, which is one of the really funny things. But he has a couple of moves that I urge you to take a look at, which is the Orange Crush, which is a vertical suplex into a powerbomb. So he puts you up in a vertical suplex and then throws you forward into a powerbomb. But my absolute favorite is it's called the Black Crush. And it's just my absolute favorite move. I really wish that, you know, someone who uses the cutter would do this. You pick somebody up for a vertical suplex, and then you turn them around and basically give them a cutter. It's just, it's one of those moves that you see, it's like, holy crap, you know? But this guy, I mean, you know, he big name in the wrestling world, especially in Japan. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, at least he didn't go out a bad way.
That is true. He went out on top and basically at the top of his game, too. So let's move on to WWE programming for actually the last 2 weeks. So Ryback and Team Hell No are going to take on the Shield at TLC.
And this is due to Punk being injured. My question to you, though, is do you think that this is a good replacement for Punk versus Ryback?
No, it's not going to sell anything. I mean, if people already bought the pay-per-view, they're going to be like, oh, can I get my money back? And people who would have bought the pay-per-view, they're not going to now because they're like, okay, it's Ryback. And for some reason, watching Raw this week, something about Ryback, I was just like, oh, he just showed up. They didn't bring him, have him do a match. He just showed up at the very end. You know,
well, Raw this week was not good. I mean, it was not good. I really feel WWE programming has just gone down the tubes over the past year. And it's something that in our prediction show in a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about there a little bit more. But I got to say this. I think that what they should have done for this is you have Ryback and somebody else take on the Shield. Ryback and Team Hell No versus the Shield is too even of a match. And Ryback is going to win, plain and simple. He's going to win, you know, because he's got to get his revenge on the Shield. And they're going to set it up for further storylines down the road. The smart move would have been to have like Ryback and, you know, Cena's already in a match, but somebody likes Cena. So Ryback and Cena taking on the Shield. And the reason why it would be a smarter move is because it's like, oh, he's getting put up against all these odds. It's only him and one other guy. It's 2-on-3. Can he overcome this? And 3-on-3, it's like, eh, we saw Survivor Series, you know, like who cares? And you don't want to do 1-on-3 because then it's like Ryback would have to win. And then it's like, OK, these guys are obviously nothing. You know, they're absolutely nothing. So I actually think that it's a very bad move. It's not going to be the main event. It'll be Cena Ziggler will be the main event, which is good for Ziggler. But Andy, I got to ask you this. So Ziggler is putting his briefcase on the line against Cena. What do you think about that?
It's interesting, but I think he's going to have to retain because Cena's going to put him over. There's no way that Cena's going to win because if he wins, he would think he would cash it in that night. Is he going to cash it in against Big Show? Is he moving to SmackDown? You know, and it also, since it's the SmackDown one, is it just for the World Heavyweight Championship? Or since Cena is on Raw, can he go against, use the WWE Championship? That's the other thing they don't discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I have no idea what they're going to do. But the other thing also that would be interesting, and I just saw in the notes actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he cashes it in early. As in, let's say that their main event, right? And Big Show wins, but he barely wins. He's basically done. He comes out, cashes it in, wins the title. The title's on the line that night.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah, you could have him win. Because one of the problems with this match is it's saying, okay, well, the Money in the Briefcase is on the line. Okay, well, why don't I just cash it in right now then? And then it's not on the line. Well, it doesn't have to be on the line. It's different than a person who is saying, I'm better than you, you know, and I can prove it. Well, if you want to prove it, put the briefcase on the line. Well, fine, I'll put it on the line then, you know. That's different than, you know, getting forced into this situation saying, I don't want to defend this, but I'm being forced to. Well, why don't I just cash this thing in right now, you know? Like, it wouldn't be that hard. So with what you're saying is smart and it would make sense. So that means it's not going to happen. And that's unfortunate.
You know what? They can't, because if they already taped tribute for the troops and Show came out with the title, it's going to look really weird.
Oh, you know, and that's something too. Like, that's what sucks about having all of these pay-per-views, because you have this pay-per-view then, but you taped a bunch of stuff right beforehand. And so it's not going to like go well. You know, if things change, like what, like, I don't believe that Big Show is going to lose. I don't believe that. And if he does, it's like, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. So if I'm a fan watching this, he lost the pay-per-view, but now he's walking out with the title.
Exactly.
But
they have done it before, though, where the person will come out without the strap on. And then you're like, wait, what's going on here? And then they retain like on like the Raw before. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, and they'd announce that he's the World Heavyweight Champion, but like in post-production, they could just edit out the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, yeah. But and it actually brings up an interesting point about Big Show. So him and Sheamus signed a contract where they can't touch each other until the pay-per-view.
Right.
The very ironic thing is that they did it a week before the pay-per-view, not like a month before, not a like this big buildup. They did it a week before the pay-per-view, 9 days. Before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and
they can't touch each other.
That's the funny part. And it's so ridiculous. Like, what they should have done this a while ago. Not just...
So is this is not building up any tension then for you, is it?
No, it's stupid. And, you know, if I'm correct, didn't someone go through a table on Raw?
Yeah. Ziggler did.
Ziggler, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I think Show went through.
Oh, I don't remember.
You know what? It doesn't matter because it was a stupid move. That's the point.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, and like, you know, like we said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Show drops it now. But, you know, they tape a show previously, which is dumb, but whatever. I guess you need to plan properly.
You know, actually, I want to ask something just a little bit, not on our sheet. WWE's been doing the TNA thing for a little while now, which is the previously on Raw. What do you think of it? I mean, they've been doing that, and it's one of those things where, yeah, obviously great minds think alike, you know. And I'm sure that WWE probably took the idea from TNA, but
I don't know, dude, because I think WWE was doing it first, but they changed how they set it. Like TNA, they do one there's usually a guy taping stuff from the crowd on basically to a DSLR camera, and they use his footage when that stuff happens, when they say previously on Impact Wrestling. But see, I think Raw was doing it previously, and then TNA did it. I think TNA copied WWE.
Okay. Well, I mean, either way, though. But do you think that WWE is doing it better?
Yeah. I think they... See, the thing is, they have all this footage, and they use everything they got. And I think it's packaged a lot better. Because it seems like there's a lot of people who are just getting the start into video production. that work for TNA. And you, that to me, that you can see it. If you watch a show like a WWE show compared to that, you can tell. Even moving the cameras, the crane operator that does, I can't remember what the camera's called, but I call it the crowd cam, where it like swings from a, what do you call it? I can't even think what it is, but it just moves around real easily in the crowd and gets these right nice shots from up above, and it kind of swims down, if that makes sense. But okay,
yeah.
Now, though, the guy who runs that does an okay job. WWE, if you watch the guy who does that one, it's very professional. That's sure. How I look at it. So I mean, they got basically, you have a pros doing the one show and starters on the other, or amateurs, if you want to go that far. So anyways, let's move on to our sponsor. It's HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space and unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo out to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off the Mark page. You'll see a banner up there, that takes you to WWEShop.com. If you click on that and use that promo code that's on that banner, if you spend more than $70, you'll get $10 off that order. And also, they're doing free shipping this month. And make sure you check out HighSpots.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So all titles were retained at Final Resolution. And I can actually tell you, I knew that one set of titles were going to be retained. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. But Hardy retained.
Yeah, so the biggest story here is that Hardy retained his title. And the way he retained it, him and Rude had a pretty good match. They had said on commentary that, you know, Hardy was still hurt from, you know, the Thursday before being attacked from Aces and Eights. And it looked like Rude was going to possibly win the title. Well, what happened was Aces and Eights came out to attack, and they didn't attack Hardy. And that's what Rude was like, look, I paid you. Why did you not attack them? And what ended up happening was it backfired. It turns out, so Hardy retains, obviously. It turns out Austin Aries paid Aces and Eights to not attack Jeff Hardy. And the reason for that, he said that he wanted to mess with Hogan even more. And he also said that he wants his title back. And he doesn't want Robert Roode to have it. And then Hardy tells Austin Aries, you know what? Fine. We can have our rematch. And so they're going to have it in like a week or two. So that's kind of the interesting thing that happened, on Impact Wrestling the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was interesting the way that they did set this up. And the pay-per-view overall was actually really good. So I got to give them credit on that. I was pretty impressed. But
yeah, and something else that happened too is that D-Von won back his TV title.
Now, why is this stupid? It's the Thursday before your pay-per-view that's on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. No buildup. No buildup whatsoever. So you decide, hey, I want him to drop the strap. We can't advertise who he's going to wrestle on the pay-per-view because it's going to have to be Samoa Joe the way it looks because he just lost it. How stupid is this? I mean, this is horrible booking. What was the point of giving him a title? You know, if you're going to do anything, give him the tag titles. I mean, then you can say the group has it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that would be a smart move too. I think you do the free bird rule where anyone can defend it. I do think though it would have been smarter for Samoa Joe to drop it at the pay-per-view. First of all, Samoa Joe should not be dropping the title to D-Von. That's just silly. What should happen is you should have Samoa Joe drop it to maybe somebody, you know, who's a little more credible. That's my only beef with it, really. But Andy, I wanted to also mention something that happened this week on TNA, which is Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe are kind of forming a tag team. Is this breathing life into the tag division?
No.
Or is this just kind of throwing a couple people together?
This is the Bischoff name getting recognition along with the Briscoe name. They take two young guys, put them together. One guy who basically looks like he would be pumping your gas, and another guy who, I don't know, might be pumping the gas as well at the same place. The fact that they're together, it's ridiculous, but I know what it's setting up. I mean, it's very obvious that he's going to be a part of Aces and Eights in some way. So this is the big storyline. You're centering around basically Eric Bischoff's kid. That's how it should be looked at. I just don't know what to think about this anymore. I mean, the rumors are that people don't like Garrett because he's getting pushed like this because there's other guys who should be getting pushed and have paid their dues, Kid Cash. And it's just one of those things, dude. Like, if he would have gone to the indie scene, like if he came on TNA and then started doing all these indie shows, you know, learning, getting proper, you know, techniques down, that's one thing. But he wasn't. He just was like given this. They're like, here you go on a silver platter. There you go. That's what upsets me.
I don't like, I mean, Wes Briscoe is a little different because, you know, he looks like a wrestler. Garrett Bischoff is tiny. You know, Eric Bischoff was not a wrestler. You know, he was somebody behind the scenes, and that's Bischoff does very well behind the scenes. And I think that Garrett as a referee was probably a smart thing to do. You know, it's like, oh, I want to be in the wrestling business. Well, hey, here's a start, you know, be a ref, be behind the scenes, you know, do some of this other stuff. He does not have good mic work. He does not have good ring work. And I don't think that the crowd enjoys him at all. I don't. I mean, I hope I'm not the only one, but I think that the crowd just doesn't care. And I think that having them as a tag team, sure, that's okay. But if you actually have them win the tag titles, then everything that Motor City Machine Guns, everything that Beer Money fought for is now all for naught. You know, it's to me close to the equivalent of Vince McMahon winning the WWE title. I'm not saying that I'm not going to stoop to David Arquette, because David Arquette, that one is so low. Garrett Bischoff winning the WCW title would be more credible than David Arquette. I'm comparing Bischoff though to McMahon, because McMahon should not win the WWE title ever, because he's, you know, a figurehead. He is not a wrestler. And that to me would be the equivalent in TNA is having Bischoff win the TV or the tag titles.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying by that. And it's just, to me, if he had a different name, if it wasn't Bischoff, I think things might be a little bit different. But when he started as a referee, what they should have done is had him shown montages of him training at schools, also doing indie events, doing everything he can, traveling on the road. They could have done that. And I think people would have, and if they did it over like a 2-year period, I think people would respect him a little bit more, but I think a lot of people just don't care for him.
Yeah, I agree.
You can just tell. But anyway, so we need to move on to our weekly topic. And before we do, if you did not check out last week's episode, it's a CM Punk documentary. Make sure you download it. I actually got to put up one day late. Thank you for Wi-Fi on the airplane that does not work properly, and I lost $5 because of it. So the thing also about what happened last week is that we were in Florida, we're in Orlando area, and we decided, hey, let's go watch Impact Wrestling live. So we got in line, and that's where we were on last Thursday. If you look, we were sitting, it would be the opposite of the entrance ramp. I was wearing a Bears jersey, it was a blue shirt, green pants, I think it was blue shirt, green pants with orange stripes and a Bears hat turned backwards with a camera in my hand. And we're on TV a lot. You see a lot of my butt and your butt and our backs. So if you want to see it, we're back there. And actually, we sat next to a guy who was hardcore into wrestling. And it was a very good conversation. But anyways, it was actually really interesting. I haven't been to a TNA event. You have been, you know, before. We waited in line for what?
Half an hour, probably.
It felt like it was forever. I was like, man, I need to go to the bathroom, you know, all this stuff. But you don't want to lose your place in line. But we actually had decent seats for where we're sitting. There's four rows that are in the opposite of the entrance ramp, and four rows of seating. And we were actually in the back seating of it.
And in particular, too, I want to say we got there. It's said to get there no later than 6, I believe.
6. And I think
we got there at like 6:45.
Yeah.
And it said that they were going to let people in at 7. They didn't let us in until like almost 7:30, I want to say.
I said something about this too. I said, why are they letting us in now? They still have the tape explosion.
Yeah. But what was funny though about that in particular is that we got there 15 minutes before they were going to let us in, and we were still able to sit in the not the front row, but you know, ring level, which was very surprising.
If we would have got there probably 20 minutes earlier, we would have had front row. Well, if not front row, we would have been second row, but we'd have been in a better position where the cameraman wasn't blocking us the entire time on TV.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, it was really interesting. We met a couple of we met one guy who was crazy, who loved TNA, and apparently everyone knew him.
Yeah.
And then asked, you guys, you know, how long are you guys staying down here? We're like, yeah, we leave on Sunday. He's like, oh, man, I'm staying until like Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. And I'm like, and I almost said, well, if we would have known this, our vacation would have been planned around it. But we didn't know at the time. But yeah, it was really interesting. A lot of people, weird people in the crowd, and actually one of them turned out to be a plant. But yep. There was a girl that was way too hot to be in this line of people. Way too dialed up to go to a wrestling event.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that kind of interesting. I don't know why, but I just thought, I was like, oh, and then all of a sudden it was a plant. That was one of the girls who came in for the
Aces and Eights thing. Yeah.
So I found that kind of humorous. But yeah, we met a couple people there that were pretty interesting. The arena is really small. Like, I'd say I was in shock about how small it was, because I thought, oh, this could probably fit a couple thousand, you know, at least.
It was like a high school gym, almost.
Basically.
Like dolled up, obviously. I mean, it wasn't like we went into a high school gym. It was like the size, you know, maybe like 1.5 high school gyms, depending on where you're from. But it was pretty tiny. I was kind of surprised by that. What was interesting is actually after the arena kind of got filled up a little more, Dixie Carter came out and was greeting the fans in the front row.
I got more on this. I saw her when we were walking in, she was already out, which was the weird part, but she was actually talking to production people, because I didn't think it was her. I was like, oh, that can't be her. Why would she be out? Because most people who are presidents of a company, you don't see them. They're always behind mm-hmm. the scenes, but she interacted with fans. Someone brought a baby. She was interacting with that, basically saying, I really want one of these. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting, because that's not how the game is played. You're back there talking to your people. You're at what they now call the gorilla position. You should be back there focusing on what's going on. But it seems that she was more like being nice to the fans, which is fine. I mean, I'm glad they're doing that. But you don't see that in indie shows usually.
That's different, though, because, I mean, at an indie show, you're probably not going to know who the president of the company is.
Oh, yeah.
You know Dixie Carter, though. You know the name. I actually thought that was kind of cool, you know? I mean, I thought that, you know, she's somebody who, you know, you don't have a bad opinion of, typically. Like, Vince McMahon, you might have a bad, you might have a good one. Dixie, you probably have a pretty good opinion of her. And so I thought it was pretty cool of her to be out. But, Andy, let's move forward a little bit more. The atmosphere there during the matches, what did you think?
I was kind of disappointed at first, because I was like, okay, they're doing their promo. And it was really interesting, because it looked like the guys were talking to a black wall, because it was basically a black wall and all the production stuff. And I thought that was really interesting, because usually at a WWE event, they're looking at people as well. But they were basically focused forward the entire time right at that camera, which I find weird still. The atmosphere after that first part, and the funny thing is I go, hey, there's probably going to be a 3-on-3 main event now, which, ironically, if you watch the show, they announce it right away. So it's like we were booking the stuff. It was really interesting, because once the Samoa Joe Devon match happened, I was like, oh, this is kind of good. But then I was like, I think I said it to you. I was like, they're not gelling in the ring at all. It's almost
they weren't.
And you could, and watching it again, you're just like watching it on from the TV perspective. You're just like, ugh, this doesn't look right. But I think Samoa Joe was just ticked that he's like, I'm dropping the title to Devon. Are you kidding me? And it's funny, because the guy next to us, he goes, they're not using him right. He was so much better in Ring of Honor. It's true. Samoa Joe is a Ring of Honor guy. If he went to the WWE, he might as well just quit. I mean, that's basically.
Yeah, he would do horrible in WWE.
But when Hogan came out, that's when right before Hogan came out, they had the 3-on-3 match. And the crowd
three-way.
The three-way match. Everyone went nuts. And the atmosphere then, people were excited. You could tell, you know, who were the wrestling people, and then who were just like, oh, we're here because it's free. When the Hogan thing came out, everyone popped because it's Hogan. It's going to happen. Main event was awesome. It was funny, because if you watch TV, you can see it. People start leaving. right at the very end, when Aces and Eights come out, people were like, whatever, and left.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. The three-way match, first of all, was awesome. It, you know, even on TV, it was still good. I was really surprised at how well the show went, actually. In fact, the TV tapings I had gone to, the house shows, I kind of wish they would have just promos in the middle of it, because it's just kind of like match. And it's like, eh, that's okay. But having those promos in the middle and having like Christopher Daniels and Kaz talk smack on the crowd, having Hogan come out, have his little thing with Bully, that helped with the flow, I thought. And after 2 hours were done, I'm like, holy crap, like it's done, you know, like the show's over. And I felt like it flew by.
Well, the first hour didn't. The second hour flew right by.
Yeah.
Because that's when the three-way match happened. And that match was awesome. I mean, that was the best match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was very surprised, because like even going to like a WWE house show, nothing happens. It's like the match, then another match. And then you'll have someone come out and will say something, then a match. And then an intermission saying, hey, go buy our merchandise. And then everyone sits because they don't want to leave. At least with this show, like if you've gone to a Raw or SmackDown or even like a Thunder or a Nitro, when they go to TV, nothing happens. And at least Borash came out and started saying stuff. And, you know, I got to give him credit for that, because and like also stuff happened that was live that you didn't see on TV, which I was happy about. Like, I think for the three-way match, I don't think they introduced anyone until they got to the ring and they all had their music play. So the show flowed perfectly. It was great. Yeah. They did a great job with that.
Kurt Angle called out Doc, Luke Gallows. And he called him a few choice words that the crowd chanted during the match. And I think most people would be like, why are they chanting this? Because Kurt Angle told them to beforehand.
It was Punk.
And that was...
Yeah, he said Punk, beep, beep is what it was.
Yeah. But it was interesting, though, that happened. It made... I was expecting, okay, he's calling them out and he's not coming out. It must be a commercial break. But then it's like, wait, none of that crap was on, you know, on TV.
Yeah, and he got on the crowd. He's like, I want you guys to start calling them this. And the funny thing is, if you go to one of their events, you can just tell when people are running out from the back. Because when Matt Morgan ran out, they all of a sudden had security back there.
Yeah, the security gets there. Cameras get there. It's like, something's happening.
Come on, man. But I mean, if they stayed over there the entire time, it'd be a different story. But they would come out at certain times to do it. And you're just like... Come on.
I got to say, I was very happy with it. I was looking forward to that all day on Thursday. And after we went, I was really happy. I thought it was a great event. It was really nice to see. I would have paid money for it, too. I mean, you know, if they said, hey, you know what, it's $20, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine.
If it was like 30 or 40, I would have probably passed.
Yeah.
But if they told me even $10, like $10, I think eventually they're going to start charging $5 or $10. Because anything that if someone is there and they got to pay $5 to get in, or like let's say it was $5, but if you want to be in the pit, it's like we'll say it's $10, but if you want to be in the pit, it's $5. Or if you want to, or the, what do they call the pit there? I forgot what it's called.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But it's basically the people who are on TV the entire time. You know, I could see them doing some weird pricing thing, but it was really interesting because behind us, and I was told by the guy sitting next to me, he goes, you might want to take a picture of what's behind you. I go, why? He goes, because no one's sitting in there. So the people that were behind us, there was like almost no one. And they never showed that section on TV, which I thought
of course not.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I don't think that they can charge for it. That's the thing. I think that you have to keep it free. But I would say, you know, if they did charge for to be in the front row, I would have paid that. If they said it was $10, yeah, I would have paid that easily. I would have paid for both of us. I probably would have paid $20 to be in the front row. Just because it's you get a more in-depth experience. But I got to tell you, if you are in Orlando and you have the chance to go see a TNA show, it's free to go. You don't have to pay to get into Universal Studios. It was a ton of fun. I enjoyed myself. Afterwards, we got a picture with Kurt Angle, which was really cool. You got to get in a TNA ring. And it was a fun thing to do. So I would encourage any of our listeners, if you have a chance to go to TNA house show, especially if you have a chance to go to a live show, please do so.
Yeah, and make sure you bring $20, even if it's on a credit card, just bring $20. Because the cool part is that, you know, Aaron and I both got into the TNA ring. It's my first time being in the ring in over 14 years now. And the one thing I thought was funny, by the way, I got to tell you a story. When I got in the ring, there was something I always that they said a couple of times. It was supposed to be embedded into your brain. But when you get in, and you'll notice it when people get on TV, you push the middle rope down. You put your leg in, and you push the middle rope down to bring your other leg in. I didn't, and I forgot about it till I hit something really hard. Pinched something. It was not fun. And then the guy's like, what's the matter? I go, and I told him what I did, and he started laughing. And he goes, rookie. So I thought that was funny. And Kurt Angle was really cool. I went right before the picture, I shook his hand. I said, hey, man, congratulations on all your stuff. He goes, hey, thanks, man. We appreciate that. And then we took the picture. And then the girls were like, because I thought we were going to pay $20 and both of us were going to get on the same thing, you know, which would have been fine for me. I would have been happy with that. But instead, we took a second picture with both of us in it. And then they tried to charge us $20 for one picture. But then they ended up doing it for they printed off two by accident, they said. So then they charged us $10 for the other one. So we have a picture of each of us and then one with both of us in it. And Angle was really nice. Short. Nothing against him, but he was short. I didn't realize how short the guy is. Because he looked up to me. So he must have looked up to you as well.
Yeah. I'm taking a look at the picture right now. I mean, I had a good 4 inches. I mean, he was probably 5'9", I would guess. Like 5'8", 5'9".
I think probably 5'9" is probably where he's at. But I just thought it was interesting because on TV, he looks so tall. But he was really cool. Because like it seems like when you meet some wrestlers, they're mean. Like they're still in that mode. Like even Kurt Angle, if he was a heel, I think he would have acted the same way. In fact... I think that I was going to tell him what I did when I got on the ropes, but I didn't. But by the way, I did get in trouble while I was in the ring because you're not supposed to do anything in the ring. And I hopped a couple times because I was kind of wondering how their ring is. And wow, there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of cushion. So I got to give him credit. And it was actually interesting just going up to the ring. I mean, it's been a long time and, you know, you've been in a couple times now. It's just really interesting.
Yeah, and, it is. But it was a lot of fun, so if you have a chance to do it, definitely,
yeah, especially if it's free, or even if you got to pay $20-$30, definitely go see it. Make sure you bring extra money for the photos, because it is definitely worth it. So, anyways, the other thing also, I don't know if I talked about, but Dixie Carter was at the show the entire time. You can see her on TV if you look for it, but she's by the announcer's table almost the entire time. So she is very active in the live show, so I got to give her credit on that, you know. Hands off to her. And also, I just got to say what up to the guy that sat next to us since we talked wrestling the entire time. So I told him to check our show out. And I think that one crazy kid probably might check our show out too. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AwfulMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.